Well, good morning on this wonderful, glorious Palm Sunday. Have you ever lost something? Forgot where you put it? When I was growing up, my mother was famous in our household for always losing her cup of coffee. And it's tragic when that happens. Now, some of you are on a higher level of holiness than some, and some of you say, well, I don't drink coffee, Pastor Ted. And that's fine. Maybe you've misplaced your car keys. Maybe you're part of that select group, or you've forgotten something that your friend or your wife or your husband told you, and you're like, what was that? Or you made out a grocery list. Has that ever happened? And you were supposed to go to the grocery store and get eggs, and you went to the grocery store, and you were mesmerized in honor of Brian for the bakery. And you caught yourself there in the bakery, and you just had to get some of those desserts in the bakery. And then you walked down the bread aisle, and then there was that delicious cheese. And then you went over to the fruits, and you got milk and yogurt, but you forgot that one thing. And so as you checked out, you thought you did good. And you went home, and your beloved partner said, did you remember the eggs? Oh, no, I forgot the eggs. The Lord Jesus compares us, his followers. Oh, I wish that he would compare us to mighty warriors, and that some of us we are. The word says we're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. But over and over again, we're compared to being known as sheep in his pasture. And sheep, they don't remember. They follow the other sheep before them, and if that sheep is going the wrong way, they'll go the wrong way. Or if they go on a path and they find that the valley is, oh, that spot looks real comfortable, they'll lay down there. And then they'll get, you know, scratching their back a little bit, and then all of a sudden, because they've eaten so much and the wool is so heavy, their legs go up. And if they can't get the shepherd there to help them, they're in deep trouble. Because they can't remember, or they can't follow. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. We have dived into this letter. Hebrews, an early church tradition, some believe this was penned by the Apostle Paul. However, as you study Scripture today, many theologians and scholars believe that it's not stylistically like Paul's writing. Paulus or maybe Bartholomew or maybe Barnabas wrote the letter. And so we don't really know who wrote this letter, but it is, some compare it to a letter to be read, and it is a sermon to be preached. And we've looked at it, we've dived into this a little bit. And Hebrews is a wonderful book because it is a letter to those believers who were, yes, primarily Jewish, but who had come to know Jesus Christ as their Messiah, Yeshua. And they put their faith in him, but through persecution and through their traveling, they began to wonder, is really Jesus who he said he was? Is he really the Christ? Is he really the one we're to trust? Do we need to go back to the old law and follow the traditions? Who is this Christ? And is he more powerful than angels? And really, I mean, what does he have to do with the high priest? Because usually the high priest is the most significant person in all of our traditions. And so it became a real struggle. And so the writer writes to these believers. And as we've discovered, he tells them that Jesus Christ, that God has spoken to us in verse 1 of chapter 1 through the prophets of long ago, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. His Son, Jesus. And then he describes Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Jesus, verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. Jesus. Verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He is God with skin on. If you want to know who God is and what God is like, look to Jesus Christ. Wow. Jesus. And the writer goes on and declares in chapter 1 how Jesus really is more powerful than the angels. In fact, the angels worship him. And he goes on a little bit later, it says that Jesus in chapter 3 is greater than Moses or the prophets. He's greater than anyone or anything. This is Jesus. And so as we look at this passage, a couple of verses in chapter 2 and chapter 3, I'd like for us to be encouraged to remember and maybe to say to one another, tell me, can you tell me the story of Jesus? Can you tell me the story of Jesus? You might not see that very well. It's a piece of music. It's an old hymn by Fanny Crosby. And if you know this hymn, John Sweeney, it was written in the 1800s. And Fanny Crosby said of her friendship with John Sweeney, said that they formed this relationship at a revival meeting in the Methodist campgrounds in Ocean Grove, New Jersey. She was there early in 1877, and Sweeney was the song leader, and he began leading the worship services, and he led there those for 20 years. And through that time, they began a discussion, and it was their desire to, through a Presbyterian church and through a Methodist Episcopal church, through that influence of Sunday school, that they wanted to write songs and hymns that reflected the Christian truth, the that was good for the children to learn and sing. And they came up with this one hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. It's simple. It's clear. It tells the story of Jesus' life on earth with his incarnation and his temptation in the desert and his earthly ministry and crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And then it comes with that chorus that's climaxed. It's precious, the sweetest ever been heard. The words go like this. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that he passed. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor. Tell of his sorrows he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. As we look into our scripture this morning, I want us to call our attention to chapter 2 and verse 1. It starts with a therefore. Therefore. All that the writer started in chapter 1 saying, hey, Jesus, let me tell you about him. God has spoken to us in the last days through his son Jesus, and he is the exact representation of who God is. He's more powerful than the angels. Then chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Lest we drift away from it. Eugene Peterson says we need to take a good, hard look at Jesus. And we must remember the story of Jesus. Even today, the writer of Hebrews says, why? Why must we pay closer attention to what we've heard? Have we heard about Jesus Christ? Have we heard about how he was born in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem? How he was born of Mary, who was a virgin, and how Joseph took her to be his wife, and how the angels declared his birth to the shepherds, who were the lowest of low in the fields, but declared his birth? Do we know that? Have we heard that? Do we tell that to others? And how the angels said, go to Bethlehem, and the shepherds, they were so excited, they went and left their sheep in the field, and they went and they saw the Savior, the baby born in the manger, and they worshiped him. And they gave glory to God as they left that place. Have we told others about the story of Jesus and how he traveled with his parents to observe the religious holidays and the festivals, and he was missing for not only just a few hours, but he was lost. And his parents thought that they was with the relatives up on ahead. And you know how young people and children like to run ahead of their parents. And Jesus was not there. And so they had to go back. And where did they find him? Where did they find him? They found him in the temple courts. And he was not only learning from the scribes, but he was probably teaching them. And they marveled at him. And he grew in wisdom with favor with man and with God. You remember that about Jesus and how it was his time, and he found his cousin John the Baptist. And there he was. John was baptizing him, and John says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus says, I need to be baptized by you. And John says, well, no, not really. I need to be baptized by you. But in order that scripture may be fulfilled, you know, John did. And John baptized him. The heavens opened. The Father declared, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. Do you know that story about Jesus? And as he left there, the disciples had heard John say, oh, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And they followed him. And Jesus invited them. And then Jesus went and he picked his disciples. Remember the time when you were maybe on the sandlot field or the baseball diamond, you were going to play a game of kickball. And the teams were getting ready. The two captains were there. I pick Johnny because he's the best kicker. I pick Alan because he can catch the ball. And I was one of those who say, oh, pick me, pick me. And I was always one of the ones who were last. But if Jesus came along, guess who he'd pick? He might not have picked the most talented or the most skilled, the most handsome, the most beautiful, the one who was the richest, or the one who was the wisest, the one who was the most athletic. He'd pick the one who was just not quite good enough. He picked Peter. He picked James and John. And sometimes we hold them up on pedestals, but they were just fishermen. They were young people in that time. They couldn't even make some scholars say they couldn't make that second level, that third level of education to be studying under rabbis. So when Jesus came and was a rabbi and said, come and follow me, they knew what it meant. So they left everything they had and they followed Christ. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Remember that? Do you recall that? The writer of Hebrews says, we must remember the story of Jesus. We must write on our heart every word, as the hymn writer says. Why? So we pay close attention so that we do not drift away from Him. So that we do not drift away from Him. Chapter 3, verse 13. In Hebrews it says, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Whoa. So in other words, if we don't remember Christ, if we don't remember the story of Jesus, if we don't allow His Holy Spirit to write it on our heart, if we don't remember that, there is that possibility, yes, that potential, yes, of sin coming in, causing deceitfulness to reign in our lives, and we lose our confidence in Christ. The Hebrews were losing their confidence in Jesus because there was that danger of forgetting. Jesus traveled with his disciples for 3 years, teaching them. They observed him. They slept with him. They ate with him. They saw him walk on water. Wouldn't that have been cool to see? Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? They were filled with fear. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, it is I. Climbed in the boat with him. Jesus healed those who were demon-possessed, delivered them from bondage of the demonic, restored those individuals to complete health. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. Not every sick person. But he displayed his glory. He displayed his divinity. Do you know the story of Jesus? We must remember the story of Jesus. Today, in Luke's gospel and in John's gospel, John chapter 12, verse 20, it is the story of the triumphal entry. In verse 12 of John 12, it says, the next day the large crowd had come to the feast and that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciple did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. Wow. Today is the day we honor Jesus Christ as King. And he didn't come as king into Jerusalem like the kings would come in his days. And probably the Roman soldiers were looking at him like, huh, they call this a king? Look, he's riding on a donkey, not a great white stallion. What's up with this? But Jesus came in and the crowds honored him. Whether they did it because their best friend was doing it or whether it was they're curious, some maybe knew and that he was the Messiah, and some were probably hoping that he would overthrow the Roman government right then and there and take over. But they worshiped him. We must remember the story of Jesus, lest we drift away. But the writer goes on. We must keep in view Christ's example of who he is. Chapter 2, verse 9 talks about the angels, says verse 2, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. Verse 9. But we see him who, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Notice that phrase, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Do you see Jesus? Do you take time in his word to saturate your mind with his scriptures that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, can speak to you so that you can move closer to God, so God will draw you closer to himself and begin to shape you and mold you so that your character will become more like Jesus? Do you see Jesus? Are you focused on him? He was made lower than the angels. He left the splendor of all of heaven and all of glory to take upon himself our humanness so he would understand and know what we are going through. Tempted as we are, yet was without sin. The perfect high priest, that he might taste death for everyone, that he would suffer death by the grace of God. And that he would free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death, making atonement for the sins of the people, able to help them who are being tempted. We must keep in view the example of Jesus. Oh, maybe growing up we had posters of athletes on our wall in our room. Or maybe we had, you know, that favorite rock band or that rock group or that movie actor or actress or whomever. And they were our idols, so to speak, our heroes, our examples. When I grow up, I want to be like Wilt Chamberlain. And some of you are saying, who is that? That was a basketball player. He was very tall. He could play basketball. Look at me. I'm not tall. That dream left long ago. Right? And so did the skill. But we need the example today because men will disappoint us. Athletes will disappoint us. Rock stars will disappoint us. Celebrities will disappoint us. politicians will disappoint us. Even family members will disappoint us. We need to keep looking at Jesus as our example. He has done what no other could have done. He's made atonement for you and me, taken away our sin once and for all. And if we put our faith in Him, we become made new, born again, a child of God. Wow. We need Jesus. Thirdly, we must renew our minds with the thoughts of Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Hebrews is another therefore. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, it says, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Think about Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. We must renew our minds with the thoughts of Jesus. We need to take a good look at Jesus because He's the one who makes us holy. He is the one, who invites us to share in the heavenly calling. He is our apostle. He's our high priest. He is our Savior. We need to look at Jesus. So very quickly, what does that mean then? As we think about Jesus, we renew our minds with His thoughts. As we look to Him as our example, as we take time to remember His story, what does it mean for you and me? It means that if I focus on Jesus Christ, I will focus on Him, then the Lord does something for me. His Holy Spirit will teach me. John 14:26, but when the Father sends the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything that will remind you of everything I've told you. His Spirit will guide me. John 16:13. At the time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and He will grant your request because you use my name. His Holy Spirit will keep me. John 17:11 and Galatians 5:25. In John 17:11, Jesus prays in the high priestly prayer, and He says, Holy Father, you have given them to me. He says, I'm departing from the world. They're staying in this world, but I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them, keep them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. In Galatians, it says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us be filled with the Spirit. His Spirit will keep us. And then His Spirit will guard us as I focus on Jesus. Ephesians 1:13 and 1 Peter 1:5. 1 Peter 1:5 says, you are being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We need to focus on Jesus. We need to follow Jesus. We need to follow Him. As we follow His example, we will serve others the way He served. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Do you remember that time where Jesus came and He told His disciples to make ready for the Passover, and they came to the room, and then Jesus got up from the table and took off His outer garment and then took on the garment of a slave and took the water basin and the bowl and began to wash His disciples' feet as a servant in humility, preferring them. He was the honored guest, but yet as the honored guest, He stooped down to the lowest part and washed their feet. Remember Peter, he says, Lord, I don't want you to wash my feet. And the Lord says, Peter, if you don't wash my feet, you're not going to have any part of me. And then Peter got really worried. He says, Lord, wash my feet, my hands, and everything, you know, my head too, everything. And Jesus says, Peter, You must understand the example that I'm setting for you. That the greatest in the kingdom is to be the servant. We need to follow Jesus by serving one another. And even more so today. We get so caught up in our opinions and our ideas that we know it all. Therefore, everybody should submit to my thinking. When Christ, he knew their hearts. He knew that Peter would deny him 3 times. Yet he stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. He knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him with a kiss. And he stooped down and he washed Judas's feet. What a powerful name. He was willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. Philippians 3:10 says that. So that we could give Christ honor. Peter says, I want to know Christ. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, and I want to suffer with him. Somehow, to identify with Jesus, sharing in his death, and somehow attain the resurrection. Peter says, I will give Jesus Christ the honor, praise, and thanks for tasting death for me. Jesus. We need to fix our thoughts on Jesus. We need to think like him today as followers of him. Not like the world thinks, but like Jesus thinks. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. Romans 12:2 says, I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I will have a transformed mind. One translation says it this way, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And then I will discern, as Romans 12:2 says, and Ephesians 5:10 says, I'll discern and display spiritual truth in my life. As I fix my thoughts on Jesus. Oh, that we would tell the story of Jesus. That we would write on our hearts every word. Hebrews 12:1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so easily, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That you will not grow weary and lose hope. That you will not grow weary and drift away. Remember the story of Jesus? These verses in closing. Disciples heard, oh, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come. He replied, and you will see. They did go, and their lives were forever changed. If Jesus was standing here before you, which I believe his presence and his spirit is here, and he asked you that question to you, what do you want from him? What would you say? Would you say, Lord, where are you staying? I want to go be with you. I want to learn. I want to follow. I want to live. I want to think like you. I want to tell others about your story. I want you to save me from my sins. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may have victory. I want you to take care of this issue in my life. What do you want Jesus to do? Jesus responds, come. Come, and you will see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to our heart this morning. We are challenged by the example of Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, Jesus, yes, as Scripture declares, is the Father's Son, is the exact representation of God in the flesh, and came to give his life as a ransom for many. And those who put their faith and trust in him are born again, are children of God. And that's who you say we are. And we are your children. And Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that we will not forget what you have done for us personally. That we will not forget what you have done for the world corporately. Lord, that we will not forget the story of Jesus. And that by your Spirit we will hunger and thirst more for righteousness' sake. And by your Spirit we will long to live and think and breathe and act like Christ. So that we may give Jesus all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory for tasting death for us and giving us the gift of salvation and making us right with you. Thank you. Thank you for this triumphant day. Thank you for who you say we are. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name.